Good morning, good evening, good afternoon for those who are watching this live or listening to the podcast later. So, my name is Vivian Acqua, and I am a certified inclusion strategist helping out so many companies when it comes to diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. And boy, let's wrap it up what happened because a lot happened last week. And I received so many questions regarding, what's happening in the US and also what's happening, what certain people are doing when it comes to deactivating. And I recently wrote a post and also the newsletter from beginning of January also connected to that. I see what's happening right now as the business case of what not to do. So I also mentioned that it's very important to keep a close eye on the companies that are deactivating DEI initiatives at the moment right now. So keep a close eye on those who are rebranding, right? Those who are keeping it alive and those who are totally deactivating this at the moment right now, because it will show at the end of the day, a company needs to make revenue, it needs to grow, it needs to be able to innovate, it needs to also be competitive. And without the people and not having a system in place or tools in place to create a thriving workplace, to create an inclusive environment for all, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. And it's disheartening. Of course, it's disheartening. And there's a lot of fear being activated right now. But don't let yourself be paralyzed about the fear or about the news. I've shut down my news feed at the moment right now, so I'm watching only what's necessary, and if it's not necessary, I'm not watching it because I also have to keep my sanity and sanity sane with everything that's happening. But today's topic is also very, I knew that this something like this was coming, but also I had an amazing conversation with my guest speaker of today. And since DEI is also partially about bridging differences, why not have a conversation with Arko Cots about it? So I was recently interviewed in Dutch for his podcast. It's about the essence of learning, and we had an amazing conversation. And then I noticed a big map on his background, the map of there's a map, and I will leave it to Arko to explain that particular map. But the map is also showing different ways of how to collaborate better, right? How to learn, the good things, the things that you don't do that well, and the things that you might walk away from that map. So today's topic is about bridging differences, how understanding builds better teams. And I also need to introduce my guest speaker. So Arko Cots in the Netherlands, he's active as an international senior trainer in behavior for 25 years now, and he studied business engineering, and he comes to many organizations regarding high performance, but also for culture, for leadership as well, to expand how we can collaborate better. So welcome,
Thank you. Thank you. It's a
Arko.
pleasure to be in your podcast. And it was also a
Yes.
pleasure to have you in my podcast.
Yeah.
And it's nice how we can discuss the issues about working together as a team about inclusion and diversity. And that's not only about gender differences, but also the preferences that people have in the focus in work. So some people are focused on just doing the business, and other are more focused on relations. And how do you work together when people have different views on the world and still understanding each other? And it's nice to talk about that.
Definitely. So you're sitting on the other side right now. So you are in the hot seat where I'm able to ask you questions. And let's start with an icebreaker. So why do you believe we need to humanize the workplace?
Well, I think the workplace is just part of our life. And being alive, that's being human. And I guess that work is there for humans, and it's not the other way around. So we are not production material. We are human beings building a life together. And by building that life, we work, and that's part of our life. It's not the other way around. It's not that life is part of our work. It's work is part of our lives. So
I find it very valuable that you mentioned that it's the other way around and that we people are humans, because sometimes it may seem for people like they are being addressed as objects or as numbers at the moment right now. I'm currently listening to The Anatomy of Peace, which is a great book, especially right now in the current space where people are being perceived as objects. And the fact that you are mentioning that we need to humanize people and understand that they are human first before they are employees, right?
Yeah. And being an employee is just part of how our society is built. Mm-hmm. But we're living in families. We're living together mm-hmm. with neighbors. And the neighborhood makes a society. And mm-hmm. Therefore, we have the works place where we can earn some money. But, mm-hmm. In fact, that's just something in our lives. But being alive and building friendships, making sure that you know the people that living around you is far more important than just the job.
Yeah, I agree. And also, given the fact that we spend so much time there, right? So I totally agree with what you're saying. And before we started, I was asking the question of, I wanted to ask a new question. And the question that I wanted to ask was, what is your favorite song that energizes you at work? And then you mentioned but I work in silence. So let me rephrase that question. What song energizes you?
Yeah, well, in a lot of cases, I work in silence. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I'm doing handwork, then I like to have some music on. And one of the songs that touches me is The Edge of Glory by Lady Gaga. That's bringing up so much energy, but also Let Me Entertain You by
Robbie Williams.
That's also a song that I sometimes use before I come up to the stage, because a lot of my work as a trainer is also being on stage and entertaining people mm-hmm. while learning and developing the skills. So, but I like quite a lot of diverse kinds of music, varying from jazz till classic till pop, and also some Dutch music.
That's awesome.
Lyrics are important for me as well.
Yeah, that's great to know. Thank you for sharing. And also, let's dive a little bit deeper into today's topic, right? Bridging differences. So how does understanding individual personality types enhance collaboration and productivity, right? I mentioned about you have this particular map where people can see, can put themselves in certain, let's say certain labels upon themselves, so who they are and how they can best communicate. Why is that important?
Well, it's important to understand who you are yourself, because every human being, every person has got their own preferences. Some people are more introvert, some people are more extrovert. As you can imagine, when you work together or live together with family members, some people are more quiet and they need to have more space to overthink things. And others are always talking, and they never listen. And by knowing yourself, it's good to be aware that the way you behave affects the people around you. So when you are very talkative and I'm quiet, then there could be some kind of dynamics in which you are always talking and I am quiet. And when do I stop listening? That's the moment when I have got the idea that you never listen to me. So by knowing myself when I'm more extrovert, then I can be aware of the fact that the people that I work with are might be more introvert. And when they are, when I want to get the best out of them, I need to be aware that maybe I should keep my mouth shut for a while and ask them questions, but give them also some time to respond. Because as an extrovert, being an introvert, you need some more time, and then better answers are coming up.
Yep.
So when I'm aware of myself and I'm aware of the people around me, then I can use the best of both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that's also the in the diversity of people is that some people are more task-oriented and some people are more people-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So some people come to work and they come to work to do a certain task. And when they're working together, then they are building up friendships and relationships. But there are also people who work completely the other way around. They first need mm-hmm. to go to work for relationships. Yeah. And then when they have feel good that there are good relationships, then they start to be productive. So it's not that one who is more task-oriented isn't interested in people. No, but they start with the task and then end up to relations. And the others, they start with the relation and then go on to the task.
And it's interesting that you bring up, you know, the assumption that because somebody is different than you or the way that they do things differently, that we assume that they are not interested in you.
Yeah. And we've got the idea that when someone is different than I am,
mm-hmm.
that the first thing that we think, believe, is that everybody has got the same feelings and the same awareness of the world around them. And that's not true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of the things that I use sometimes in training activities is that I ask people to watch outside the window in the same direction and then watch for 1 minute and then describe what you perceive.
Mm.
And then after 1 minute, people have very diverse things that they see. Someone are talking about the gray and cloudy weather, which feels a little bit not energetic, and others just tell there are three trees and there's a stain on the window. It's we look at the same thing, but we see different things. We feel yeah. different things.
It reminds me also, because you recently experienced the virtual reality simulation, where I also disclosed that when 10 people are watching the same experience or going through the same experience, that it's totally different because of 10 different lived experience, 10 different work experience, but yet everybody watched the same, but still addresses different things. And that's something that is often missed in the workplace, that we assume that everybody, because they work there, that everybody is aligned and understands that there is only one way to look at things, whilst yeah. they are not brought in the workplace to think in a monogenous way, right? We are brought in the workplace to think, to bring our diversity of thought in the workplace so that yeah. the company can grow and innovate as well.
And also that we as humans working together can grow
mm-hmm.
in yeah. our personal development. Because when I'm going to work somewhere, I am not going to work there to make the company grow.
True.
I'm going
True.
To work there to have a certain experience and to enrich my life. And while enriching my life, I also can make the company grow. And that's when we talk about the differences and we talk about the different goals and objectives that we have to find some similarity in our goals and objectives. And that's something that needs to be there to get people together.
True. And it brings me also to the following question, which is also very pivotal for bringing people together, and that is the topic trust. So, why is open communication key to building trust in personal and professional relationship?
Well, that's a very beautiful question, because I really believe that trust is key to communication and to work together. But also, trust is individual. It's not that trust is not something that's just for the workspace, because when we are with three people together, we all have a different way of trusting ourselves and the other. And for me personally, I'm trusting quite a lot of people. Some people call me naive sometimes, because I trust people from the beginning. I do not like to close my door, to lock my door, because I think, well, when people want to come and get something, well, just let them do that. I trust the process, I trust the environment, and I always believe that whatever they can take away from me, tomorrow there will be another day and the sun will be shining again. So, but there are also a lot of people who have a lack of trust from within themselves. They're afraid that maybe tomorrow they do not have food, or that maybe tomorrow that people will leave them, that maybe people are no longer friends, because well, they don't provide them with something. So the differences in how people trust each other makes it easier or more difficult to tell the truth. When I trust you and I believe that you are a good person, then it's for me, it's easy to tell my vulnerabilities as well. And when I share my vulnerabilities, I'm building up more trust from your side. Because when you see me as being vulnerable, that makes me more trustworthy.
And vulnerability, I mean, vulnerability is also another topic that not everybody feels comfortable in sharing their vulnerability, right? What
No.
do you have to say about that?
Well, there is a big difference between feeling comfortable and being effective, or being okay, or doing the right and a good thing. It can feel really uncomfortable to be honest, but it is trustworthy to be that. And if I can cope with this discomfort, I can build better relationships. So sometimes when a good friend of mine is doing something that I think it's completely wrong, then it's feeling quite discomfortable to tell him that I think it's wrong what he's doing. If I don't do that, I just let him go and I don't care. And if I don't do care about something, if I love someone, if I share love with my colleagues, then I need to be honest about what I see, what I feel, what I believe, whenever it's in the best of their growth. So if I tell people what I think about something just only to make myself better, that's not honest. It's honest when I tell people what I think about what they're doing, when they can grow,
Which
and when we
brings me up
together.
to the Which also brings me up to another topic that is connected to trust, right? So, psychological safety, trust is very important. So is vulnerability, also very important when it comes to that. How does building psychological safety in groups improve team performance and morale?
Well, I think it's working both ways. So when the team is focused on team performance and there is a high moral standard, then people are feeling more safe. But that could also be that it's not that comfortable, but it is safe. Working in a high-performing team is not always comfortable, but you know that people are telling you the truth about what they're thinking. So you can feel safe that when they don't like your behavior, they tell you. And then you know, then you can do something about it. If they do not tell you, but they tell each other, then they are getting you out of the way and they stop communicating with you, which feels very unsafe.
Yeah.
So it's safer to know the truth and to, when people tell you, I don't like what you're doing right now, but I'm giving you the opportunity and I'm willing to help you grow to change your behavior so we can work together in the future, because that's what I want. That feels safe. But it could be uncomfortable.
Definitely. And also it brings me to a following, a following story about Boeing. A while ago, Boeing was in the news a lot because of, let's say, malfunction of planes. And Amy Edmondson, she is a professor who also talks a lot about psychological safety. Yeah. She wrote a story about what happened at Boeing had to do with not having a psychological safe space. It even was so that a few whistleblowers mentioned that the environment were toxic, that they knew that there were some malfunctions with certain planes, but they could not address it because the safe, the space wasn't safe, their manager wasn't safe, or their environment wasn't safe. Now, let's say that recently, I think last year, Boeing made a huge announcement that they have deactivated their DEI. I don't know, given what happened, a few years ago, I don't know if I would ever feel safe in a Boeing knowing that they are deactivating their DEI, because people don't realize that inclusion is connected to psychological safety. Psychological safety is the foundation of inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to share that as a fact, that it's important that we keep a close eye on what's happening in Boeing, but also keep a close eye on their people turnover and their financial turnover as well, because it will be interesting into what will happen in the upcoming years.
Yeah. Now you are combining two things. Is the psychological safety with equality?
Yeah, no, with inclusion. So
and inclusion.
Since we're talking about psychological safety and team performance, I wanted to bring a story to light where it has been shown, or it has been proven, that not having a psychological safe space, what the negative impact can be, and how it went for Boeing. And psychological safety is also part of it being important for team building and bridging differences. It's also very important ingredient for inclusion.
Yeah. I think it's absolutely also a very important ingredient for inclusion. And an inclusive environment makes it easier for people to speak up.
Yeah, definitely.
That's especially also on when you take a look at how people are working together. Some people have a lot of experience. And when an engineer is working somewhere with a lot of experience, a lot of people think that they're some kind of goddess, and that they know what's right and what's wrong, and that someone who is entering the workspace for the first day that they need to get the knowledge and get the experience before people are willing to listen to them. And especially in environments where safety is quite important, like for, at Boeing or in chemical industries or in complex industries where safety is very important, there it is needed that people who come in there and they have their questions, that people are listening to them.
Yeah, true. But it brings me, it's also a bridge to the next question, and that is feedback, right? Because feedback is a skill that you need to learn. And we're both based in the Netherlands. And oftentimes what I hear, I don't know about you, oftentimes what I hear is that Dutch people can be brutal when it comes to feedback. I sometimes explain it as Texas Chainsaw Massacre horror scenario where we give people direct feedback and we brutalize them, but our intention is that we wanted to give them feedback so that they learn and do better, but in the meantime we kill them with our kindness with the direct feedback and leave people dead for dead, right? So the question for you now is, how can providing constructive feedback strengthen bonds instead of creating tension? Some cultures are known for providing direct feedback, some cultures don't.
I really believe that brutal feedback is the best to grow. No. But there is something that you need to know, is that there is a difference between, and I think it's one of the core values of the Dutch society, is being honest is very important. Yeah. And it's more important to be honest than to feel ashamed or to make someone not feel ashamed. And there are some cultures in which people where it's the worst thing that can happen is lose face. And so you will not let someone lose face in a, let's say, in an Arabic culture, for instance, their losing face is very that's the worst thing that can happen. And being honest sometimes means that someone is losing face. So it's quite a lot based on what kind of topics are you being brutally honest, and when does it help the corporation? When does it help the other, and when isn't it helping at all? Because I can be honest when I have got something to say about you, about the way how you are wearing your hair, if I don't like it, but what does it does not help you. You cannot get any information from that that can improve your behavior in working together. And but when I take you to a certain environment in which people have their ideas about it, then I can tell you, well, maybe the way you wear your hair, it's so open, people like to cover their hair more in this culture, then it's can help you, because it doesn't say anything about who you are as a person, but it says something about what your behavior is in the work environment.
Yeah, but the last comment that you made, I see that as constructive. I see that as you helping me navigating into a different space, or maybe in a different country, where we need to honor and respect the cultural norms in that particular country as well, right? So that I can totally understand. But sometimes, let's say that when I started my career, I didn't get a rule book or any training regarding, okay, now how are you going to share feedback, but also how are you going to receive feedback?
And for me, in most cases, it's I think it's more important that people learn how to receive feedback than that they learn how to give feedback. Because receiving feedback is a skill. And when I take a look at myself, I really want to know what people think about me. When they think I'm an asshole, I would like them to tell me, because then I know what I can do about it. And there is only one way, when I can get every information that I need to improve my performance, is that I can cope with every kind of bringing the feedback to me, how brutal it is. If I can cope with that, like, well, it's not about me when people are giving feedback. It's about how people perceive me. So it's their opinion about me, and it's their vision of the community, and they are telling me, so I can decide for myself what I can do with the feedback. Sometimes
I get that. I truly get that, but I also, I hope that those who are watching or listening to this conversation, that you can already see a distinction of two different people responding differently to the way feedback should be, right? And I also believe in having that conversation with each other, or understanding like the map that you're using, or different tools that where you can find out the different communication styles of people, so that you can create understanding for all the different stakeholders that are there. So basically create, you know, find out to bridge that difference, find out to bridge the gap, so that you can effectively better communicate with each other.
Yeah, and when you understand the map of behavior, because when we take a look at the world of differences, which I use quite a lot, it's based on MapStel, that's the organization that provides the tests that you can make, and then they come up with a certain place in the world of differences where you live. That's how they pronounce it. And that could be the environment, decisive or influential or stable or consensus. Those are the four areas. And every area has got their own preferences and way of watching at the world. Like, for instance, consensus is introvert, task-oriented, very precise on detail. So people who are living there think that detail is very important. People living on the other side of the world, in influential, which is extrovert and people-oriented, they are not focused on detail. They don't care about detail. They care about relationships. So when you someone is living there, and the other one from consensus thinks, well, there are two details missing, they're mentioning it immediately because they don't like mistakes. And the other one feels when people are telling them their mistakes, oh, they're offending me. So they don't care about the mistakes. They feel offended because someone is telling them that they made a mistake, so they don't, they're not perfect. And in influential, when you're living there, you want to be perfect yourself, or at least you want to have a perfect image. And by knowing that, when you're where you are living, then you can say, when someone from a certain area gives me feedback in this way, it's feedback based on their perception of the world. So they are not trying to make me feel bad. No, they're trying to help me to be better in detail. And while knowing that, then it's easier to cope with whatever kind of feedback you get.
Definitely. I also want to talk about what strategies can managers use to encourage honest conversation among their team members, right? You mentioned that in the Netherlands, we value honesty, whereas sometimes our message can be delivered in a very direct way, according to other people. So what strategies can managers use or leaders use to encourage honest conversations?
Well, there are a few things that in a lot of cases, people want to be honest in mm-hmm. a big environment. When you have a meeting mm-hmm. with 10 people and when managers are asking for honesty over there, well, just let go of it. Because mm-hmm. when there are 10 people around, it's very difficult to be open and honest. So it's easier to be open and honest in a one-on-one situation. So asking, especially when people are more introvert, ask them in advance what their opinion is about something. Give them time to think about it,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that they can find the right words to say it. Because people who are more introverts don't like to be offending to others. People mm-hmm. who are more extroverts, they don't, most of them care less about what people think about them.
Mm-hmm.
They also care less about how people can feel when they say something, because they just tell it and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quite extrovert in a lot of cases. When I say something, sometimes I really do not understand how painful it could be for someone else. So to encourage people to be honest, give them the right tools to make it, be honest on the small things, and be honest on the small things as an example, as well as a leader, mm-hmm. that you are honest in the good things. So give compliments or for small things. Be honest about small mistakes that you see, but one thing at a time.
Yeah.
And when you want to encourage the honesty and openness in the teams, ask people first to talk with a colleague of them about an issue, and then with a few more about an issue, the same issue, and then within the complete group, but not immediately in the complete group.
I also want to, I want to emphasize on what you just shared right now about honesty, because it's not easy for leaders, especially now leading in this very dynamic, every day there is a crisis world where you are asking also leaders to be honest, but honesty does unlock honesty and vulnerability does unlock vulnerability. And also at the end of the day, what kind of leader do you want to be? Right? Do you want to be a leader where people feel afraid of showing up with their best selves and working, you know, together with you so that you can reach your team goals? Or do you want to invite a thriving workplace or thriving environment where every team member feels like they are an added value to your mm-hmm. To your team goal, but also go beyond that added value as well? And sometimes this is missed when we are not showing up our true selves, which I can, in a way, I can imagine as a leader showing up vulnerability. It's not a given thing that often leaders do, but I do want to invite you, what kind of leader do you want to be? And who do you want next to you? Do you want to lead with tyranny? Do you want to lead with fear? Or you want to lead with openness, safe space, and an environment where people can grow and thrive?
I would love to work with, based on what I always say, you can base your activities on fear
yeah.
or on love.
Yeah,
when you
yeah.
base everything on love, then you're trusting people, and then you are doing the things where you want to go to. So mm-hmm. you're not acting upon fear, because that doesn't help, doesn't bring you further. But mm-hmm. sometimes sure. when you are working in a really dangerous environment, and that's the difference between is this workspace, is it safe or yeah. does it feel safe? Because yeah. sometimes you can feel safe and you can be honest and open and mm-hmm. Leading with love, and then you can lead everyone straight towards hell. Because when there's something above you in the organization mm-hmm. or in the political environment in which you are working, which is not trustworthy, then you can then openness and vulnerability could be really dangerous.
Yeah.
So it's also the fact, be aware, is it really unsafe? Then never base your leadership on like it is a safe environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also remember, what is safe for you doesn't have to mean that it's safe for somebody else as well. So,
but keep that
in mind.
When I feel trusted and mm-hmm. I've got a lot of trust in myself, then we can reach enormous goals within a certain environment. But when the environment changes and I have to do it in a very bad neighborhood somewhere where people are stealing, where riots are, and where it's really unsafe, well, then I can come up there and say, well, okay, you can trust me. This is what I'm going to do here. Then I will mm-hmm. be robbed and I will be murdered.
Mm. Yeah, it's an interesting perspective. So I also want to... Mm-hmm.
There it's good to listen to fear and listen to love and then mm-hmm. decide and use your mind and use your heart to make the right decisions. And that's I think, what leadership is all about.
Yeah. True, but leadership is also about the following question, and that is, what are some ways to handle situation where miscommunication damages relationship?
Hmm. Well, some ways. I think one of the best
ways. You mentioned two or three.
Yeah, I think one of the best ways mm-hmm. is being aware of the fact that we all are human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And human beings are not perfect. So being aware of the fact that I make mistakes, and sometimes that leads to misunderstanding. When I can be open about the fact that I make a mistake in the way I work with something, because I did not have all the information, for instance. And when I tell that, I can reconnect. Saying sorry, really mentioning it, like I said something to you and I saw it really hurt you. Mm-hmm. And it was not my opinion to hurt you. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry for the fact that you are feeling hurt, but I'm not sorry about the fact that I mentioned something, mm-hmm. because I still believe that this is something that is good for you to know. And there was maybe some misunderstanding, and it was not my intention to hurt you.
Yeah.
I get that.
And also believe that the majority of the people, they don't go out to their workplaces or their environments to deliberately hurt people. No. Unless they are a psycho killer, but which I don't believe that all the people are like that.
Yeah, but most psycho killers are also hurt by other things.
True. Hurt people. That's true.
So I really believe also that taking good care of yourself is very important to rebuild damaged communication situations.
Mm-hmm.
And as
in, what do you mean with taking good care of yourself? Can you mention an example?
When I have gone to the gym,
mm-hmm.
I've done my sports, I have been sleeping quite well,
mm-hmm.
Then it's not so difficult to create a difficult conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm tired, when I'm not strong in my body, mm-hmm. when I haven't got any good food for myself and I feel weak, then I can't bring up the energy to have the difficult conversation, because then it's
you step into the conversation with a bad energy.
With a bad energy, yeah. And so taking care of my own energy, taking care of my own body, helps me to be strong from inside. And when I'm strong from the inside, I don't have to be tough on the outside.
I get that. We have reached to our final question, and that is, it's this year is 2025, and I'm already talking about 2030, but what is your wish when it comes to humanizing the workplace and team building? What do you hope to see in 5 years?
Well, there's one thing that I and I'm already seeing things happening like that, is that I want that people are more aware of self-reflection.
That
people take more time to really reflect on their own behavior, not in a case of am I a good or a bad person, but do I do the things that help to bring our society further? Yes or no? The moral issue about how do I think about myself, it's not that important, because I hope that people are falling more in love with themselves, so that they do not need the love from everyone around them. Because when you've got enough on yourself, then you can be honest, and then it's easier to be open. So I think it's one of the most important thing is self-improvement and personal growth that helps to humanize the works environment. And I think it's better when individuals are growing. That makes teams better teams than that you need to start with the teams.
Thank you, Arco.
And it's not about the boss to create it, but it's also about making sure that there's an environment in which people can grow. And I hope that
Will definitely work. And on that note, I would like to say thank you for this conversation. I hope that those who are watching, listening to this episode of this podcast or live stream, that can ask themselves the necessary questions to reflect, but also to think about how you can bridge differences with the things that you heard on today's show. So thank you, Marco.
Okay, it's my pleasure. Thank you for being here.
Having me. Until next time, everybody. Okay. Bye. Thank you.